Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel for this Wednesday, the 19th of August. Well, you think it's humid outside. Wait till we start our conversation. It is our roundtable panel joining us this morning, WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning to you and to the panel and to
everyone else. Let me put a microphone on you.
Oh, yeah, that's even better.
Yeah, that's...
It works well that way.
it works a little bit better. Yeah, that's all right. Good morning to all. University of Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo, who was here yesterday, but Alan and I were not, so it's nice to see you.
Yes, welcome back.
But we got reports.
Yes, we did get reports. We read the mail.
Somebody said that you said that I was the troublemaker on this panel, Rosemary.
Alan, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Where were you guys yesterday?
We went to
Paul's funeral.
Paul's funeral. Paul Weisch's funeral.
How was that?
It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful and very sad, but a beautiful remembrance of his life. And
good.
I think all parties involved did a gorgeous job remembering their husband and father. Mm-hmm. So we were very glad we were there. Libby Post is here, political consultant, who joins us each and every Wednesday, and we couldn't be more delighted. And so we have our regular crew back, and it's wonderful to have you here. So let's begin with the story that is topping the news around the country, and that is that the FDA has approved a libido pill for women. Does anyone know the correct pronunciation of the name of the drug?
Addy.
It's the first prescription drug to
which isn't as good as Viagra, by the way.
Like your grandmother.
I thought it was like, have Addy.
Oh, have at it.
Yeah.
Mm. Addy.
It's kind of gross.
The first prescription drug to enhance women's sexual drive won regulatory approval on Tuesday, clinching a victory for a lobbying campaign that had accused the FDA of gender bias for ignoring the sexual needs of women. So when I look at the story, I see two issues there. One, the actual drug, and two, the FDA being accused of gender bias.
Not the sexual needs of women?
Well, no. Well, that would go with the pill, right?
Of
taking the pill.
Here's the thing. The FDA disapproved this drug twice before, mm-hmm. just a few years ago. And now suddenly it has approved it. And in the intervening time, there's been no new discoveries at the side effect. I can't speak in this. I feel like
I have to
stand up to talk.
You sound...
Okay.
Let's get this woman a phone book.
Yeah. I have a bad back, you know. I have to slouch. Yeah,
I know. We added the... See, there was thumping on the table, so we added these like little springs to the microphone.
Those of you not looking online, the microphone is like into my forehead, and my mouth is several inches below.
You can also raise your chair, too.
You actually look very good.
Yeah,
well, my back is killing me.
We'll take care of you during the break.
So back to this. So the FDA
libido.
Yeah, my libido.
We don't care about your back.
No, my eyes.
I know somebody's going to bring from the front office who is listening right now is going to bring my back cushion from
for
Rosemary. Right. I know somebody. Right.
So the FDA twice has disapproved this drug because it has nasty side effects like you vomit. And you fall asleep, which I can't imagine what that does to sex. But at any rate, it has now approved it, even though there have been no new discoveries of tameness. You know, in fact, they've discovered new side effects for this drug and no additional benefits. So why did it get approved? I think those critics saying it was under pressure to do something for women to match Viagra, I think there's, like, good cause for concern.
But don't we have that with every drug?
Yeah, watch a commercial.
Viagra doesn't make you throw up and go to sleep.
You have an erection for 5 hours.
Right. And you could go blind.
I can't imagine that.
Which, by the way, I have always felt is the most self-serving warning.
You think so?
If you have an erection for more than 5 hours, please
call a doctor.
Finds a little concerning to me, I think.
You know, here's the deal. Every drug commercial we see these days tells us all the side effects for whatever drug you're taking. You could die just from watching the commercial.
Right.
You know, so yes, there's side effects to every drug. That's just
okay,
the way it is. But
here's another one, though, Libby.
I got to get this so you can answer. No.
Can't fight.
You can't drink alcohol. You cannot drink alcohol and take this drug. I mean, this is like,
there's a lot of drugs, but all the conditions that
allow for a great romantic experience are gone.
What?
You'll be vomiting, falling asleep,
you have
and you can't
drink.
If you want to go out,
you drink to loosen up.
We get criticized all the time for speaking over each other.
Right.
One at a time. Okay.
Right, okay.
I apologize in advance for the other remark I may have made.
Yes. Yeah. Don't. Yeah.
The thing is, someone made the point in this, which is absolutely true, in terms of the alcohol use and all that, the rest of that stuff. Smoke a joint. That really does it. You know,
oh my gosh.
And that makes life a lot easier. You know, I think part of people's reaction to this is our incredible Victorian perspective on women and sex. We should lie back and think of England, or as Alan said before Irving, the ceiling needs to be painted. You know, that's the,
I didn't say that.
But we have this incredibly Victorian notion of women and sex, and women shouldn't be enjoying sex. It's their role in life. It's their duty to their husband. So here we're having an opportunity for women, either premenopausal. They were talking about premenopausal women. I'm thinking mostly this is more for postmenopausal women.
The drug is not intended for postmenopausal.
But who can get back into the saddle again is the best way for me to put it. I mean, you know, women enjoy sex, or women should be able to enjoy sex.
That is one of the options.
Right, that is one of the options. And look, if we have Viagra so that men can have a 5-hour erection.
Well, no, they're not supposed to.
I know, but
that's
they can.
A side effect.
That's a side effect. So throwing up, 5-hour erection, throwing up. Which is worse?
Well, apparently the big difference is that
or if you throw up with a 5-hour erection.
Yeah, but apparently the big difference here is that this drug goes to your brain.
Yes, it's right. Serotonin. And
we don't have any real idea till a million people take it.
This is not really, all the other drugs are for physical effects, to have an erection. The man wants to do it, he just cannot. In this case, it's like, I don't want to do it, so I'm going to take a pill, and suddenly I really want it. It's like the first time you've had a drug that builds desire. That's spooky.
Well, what about the drugs we take that dampen desire? Anyone on
I don't
Prozac,
take drugs that do that.
Any just about anyone on antidepressants other than maybe Wellbutrin.
Oh, the side effects.
You know, the side effects are you have a very decreased sex drive. You know, so there are plenty of drugs that we take that deal with what's going on in the drugs in our head, or the chemicals in our brains to affect our moods.
So what are you arguing for here, Libby?
That
you like
this shouldn't
drug?
Be any different. If women want to take it, and the worst thing that could happen is that they throw up, then fine. I think that part of the pushback on this is our Victorian notion about sex.
That's what I was saying before.
Right.
It is,
it's okay for men to have sex. It's not okay for women to enjoy sex.
Exactly what I was trying to say. Yeah.
You're so brilliant.
Yeah, but Daisy checked in, and she said, listen to the reports. The biggest complaint is the drug hardly ever works.
Here's another thing. Viagra, you take it like you're in the mood, you're in the moment, you take a pill and it all works out. You have to take this pill every day, like birth control.
There's daily Viagra now, too. I mean, how much more of a mood killer can it be? Excuse me, honey, I got to go take my little blue pill. I'll be back in 20.
No, I think this is a daily pill you take.
No, I'm talking about Viagra.
Oh, Viagra, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I'll be back in 20, and then we can
get
back.
Well, if you're that unsmooth, you're not going to get a woman anyway.
Well, that's a whole other story for a whole other day.
Well, that's the reason a lot of men traditionally didn't want to use condoms, because it interrupted the flow of
things.
Yeah, as it were, yes.
As it were.
So this idea of, from my understanding, is that, as you said, the biggest problem is that it doesn't work. So they will put women on the drug, and if they do not see within 2 months,
you're encouraged to stop using it.
Stop using the drug because it may not work. So then what is it doing to you, I guess, is that other question.
That's the big question.
I mean, I really do think this is about the FDA. I mean, like, okay, great, we're a free country, we can take the pill or not as we want. But that's not what the FDA is supposed to do. They're supposed to say, we don't know enough about this pill.
Well,
we have some problems with it. Let's hold off. And they decided not to do it this time.
Well, but how many times have we seen the FDA go through the drug testing and then turn out with disastrous, you know, effects. I mean,
a lot.
Things like thalidomide and other things come to my head, as well as the major drugs that people take all the time, for example, to keep down the acid in the stomach, which so many of us take. And then we find out later that maybe there's a bone problem, related to this after a million people.
I started taking Lipitor. I couldn't move my arms or legs because I had that muscle reaction to it. To statins. I mean, look, there are problems with all drugs, you know, and you we're adults. You want to take the drug, it's been deemed safe, that's up to the individual. This is all about, on one level, it's about women enjoying sex, and on another level, it's about men being with women who are enjoying sex so that it can be a mutual kind of experience, instead of just lying back and thinking of England.
Okay, so
I think
that
that's
was the best face of the world. I don't know what it's. Few people saw
that.
But
I mean, I'm like giving a smirk because, that's a really lofty goal. That's great. The problem is the pill just hasn't accomplished that yet. We are not there yet. Keep working, guys. And this pill has not been deemed safe. If you'll notice, you can't even be a druggist dispensing this drug without going through special training. You can't dispense it as a doctor until you get special training. I'm sorry. This is not like ibuprofen or omeprazole. It's not like that.
However, I noticed that they're hiring tons of people.
That's right.
To go out there and push the doctor. Have you ever been in a doctor's office when they come in? They look great, you know, but they're like
the drug reps.
They're all dressed extremely well.
Oh yeah,
and they come in.
And you say, "Who is that?"
And they don't seem to wait as long as we do as patients.
No, sometimes they bring lunch.
Yes,
right. Sometimes always have this big black case on wheels.
Yeah. Okay, this is now we're attacking Big Pharma. I think, in fact, many of those abuses have been eliminated by recent reforms.
Some of them have.
I mean, I do think that Big Pharma is absolutely right to be pursuing this drug. I think there's a huge demand for it. My problem is I don't think they're there yet. And the FDA is under pressure to say, we're going to help women too. And they're pushing through a drug that's going to cause problems.
And the risk of this conversation moving into another direction, because I realize, because I think it's because we advertise these drugs and they become more...
people ask for them.
That people ask for them, and they become used without the reasons they were intended. So Viagra came as a result of men who could not sustain and get an erection. Okay, so this pill, from my understanding, is for women who suffer from hypoactive sexual desire disorder, which they said is about in 10%. In 10% of women. So, but then what happens, right, is that you advertise the drug, we talk about it as
and then everybody
a society,
gets it.
And then suddenly you want it, it's supply and demand. You want it.
Right. Oh. They create the need. The drug commercials create the need. Who knew we had lazy leg syndrome or restless leg syndrome?
Restless leg syndrome.
Right, who knew?
David, by the way, writes a letter. Guys, 4-hour erection with Viagra is not something to be joking about. Men who have this condition should seek emergency medical attention or face permanent damage to the penis.
Well, that's right.
Long-lasting erection, one that lasts more, and it's a quote, more than 4 hours without sexual stimulation is a medical emergency that could be the last erection you ever have if you don't get help right away, says Michael Felony, MD. Filoni, I'm so sorry, not Filoni, MD, a urologist at the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha, and that's from David.
Well, and that's why they call it a side effect. I mean, that's one. It's one of the of the side effects.
Yeah, but we were joking
about it. But it's also these things about like I have.
I'm telling you, Alan gave me this like back softening sea cushion.
Better than Addy, isn't it?
I'm in the mood. I'm in the mood.
You're in the mood? I'm leaving now. Bye bye now.
All right.
Oh boy.
Hey, I have an idea. Why don't we take a break?
It's getting a little warm in here. You know what I mean?
We got to catch up on some business. We'll do that. We welcome your comments, and don't you have them? Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, Alan Chartok, they make up the panel this morning. I'm Joe Donahue. We'll be right back after this break.
Okay.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable discussion.
The letters are great this morning. Wow.
They are.
I'm not going to go where I was going to go.
They are fun. We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We will continue on with other discussions, I assure you. However, we want to take care of the mail, the voluminous mailbag that we have for this particular issue.
Okay, and I'm the chief censor here, and I can't read everything that has been sent to us this morning, but I can sort of talk a little bit about it. Joel makes a reference to lead in the pencil. So that's all I can read of that one.
And notice we started talking about women's libido pills. Men.
Okay. And Naomi says, from North Canaan, why does a discussion about sex degenerate into a bunch of adults uncomfortably giggling?
Okay. We're not uncomfortable. We are giggling, though.
Certainly, we are having fun. Okay. And then we've heard from Barbara. The more I am listening to your discussion, the more it is making me think that this pill has to be invented, for want of a better word, by men, so as to ensure that whenever they want to, and that's capitalized, they want to, the woman can be made to want to as well. Yes, I am sure that there are many instances where the woman would decide to take it on her own, but I have images of the man saying, sure, you want to just take the pill. Sure you want to. Just take the pill. Worth the potential side effects to the men, sure. To the women, not so much, perhaps, and that's from Barbara. Okay, thank you for that, Barbara. And Lucy says, if men would be more considerate of women's sexual needs, perhaps drugs would not be required. And Mary says, oh boy, it's too long. Sorry. Okay, I'll read one of them. There were several things. Mary's a doctor, and she says, a couple of comments about this new drug. The side effects can be much more worrisome than the sleeplessness and vomiting you focused on. Women can faint due to drops in blood pressure, leading to falls and concussions. In addition to alcohol, the drug also interacts with hormonal contraceptives, which many women rely on to have sex without worrying that they'll have an unwanted pregnancy.
Yeah, I did read an article about that. That's a very serious issue, too.
Yeah. And then the drug was only tested on and approved for premenopausal women, not postmenopausal women, who are much more likely to have chronic illnesses like heart disease, diabetes, and high blood pressure. Side effects in older women may be more common and more severe. All right. And Sonia says, I would like to know if reporters investigating the female Viagra drug check for connections between the drug company and groups concerned with female rights. And then Jorley says, the pill doesn't work immediately. It has to be taken for a few weeks before you feel anything, unlike Viagra. Rearranges neurotransmitters, which is why the FDA waited to release. But your point has been, Rosemary, that they waited, so why are they not still waiting?
Yeah, what has changed? I don't see that anything has. New information has come forward that makes for a different decision.
And Shiprock says, Viagra was discovered as a side effect of a drug Pfizer was developing for completely different issues.
That's true.
And so Joseph says much the same thing. Rachel says, Libby assumes it's women who will want this pill for themselves, but how many will be pressured by their husbands? Many women find the lowering of sex drive as they age to be liberating, since they have a reason to say no. Not all, for sure, find it disturbing and will want this, but I worry for those husbands whose husbands push them into taking a dangerous drug.
I agree with her. I just think the women who want to take it should be able to take it. I do think that there are plenty of men, and maybe this is my bias showing, who will push their wives into taking it.
Could be.
So that they can...
I don't disagree with you, but I do think there's a difference, because if we are comparing it to Viagra, which it was mentioned by a letter writer earlier, that is taken at the moment, mm-hmm. that this is a pill that is taking a long-term effect over a regular period of time. So it's a little bit different than, you know, obviously you have more control over it.
Matt wants to know, Libby talks women having sex with women. What if lesbians do some lack sex drive, HSSD? Is this RX for all women? Matt from UC, do we know anything about this?
No. Well, any woman who feeling that they don't have a sex drive and want to take the pill would be able to take the pill regardless of their sexual orientation or their gender identity.
Libido is libido.
Libido is libido. It has no no, there's no specifics.
Okay, and Joseph makes the same point about the antihypertensive Viagra use. Okay, and Peggy says physicians seem to be unaware of the fact that women produce small amounts of testosterone that is necessary for women's libido. Testing for low testosterone and supplementing it in an amount suitable for a woman, currently only available from a compounding pharmacy, would solve most of these issues. Just,
I
just
I
read
don't
them.
Know, yeah,
I read them.
Yeah. Don't know about so that.
Don't
obviously.
Know anything about it.
Okay, and then Judy says, "What does it say about our society that we push for drugs to enhance sex? How about spending our research dollars on meds to cure actual diseases that kill people instead of wasting time and money on lifestyle enhancement?"
Oh.
Except that Judy, let me just say, this is all about money. That's what this is. Right?
No, it's more than that.
It's about a quality of life. If we're looking for a serious. I think that obviously sex is a integral part of a relationship, and that if there is an issue there and there is a pharmaceutical cure or assistance, then I don't know that that can be summed up as frivolous.
Better living through chemistry, and we do both. We spend lots of money on drugs to cure diseases. That's not an either or.
I sort of want to go back to my original poo-poo statement, which is it's all about money, because it is all about money. And the original letter, which was so interesting, was why don't we put money into other diseases which are life-threatening? And the truth is that that's so. We don't, because we have seen that drug companies do not go where there is not an apparent profit motive. So I want to just say, stick with it. I know that you guys don't agree with that, but
I think that's all true. I just don't think that's the full extent of what's going on.
Sure.
To research on,
I don't think it's one or the other.
Yeah, research on why people can't enjoy sex after a certain point is important and a lot more important. What let's take money from the defense budget if we're going to talk about moving money around. I'd rather spend money on this than on bombs in Syria or something.
Okay, and Jeffrey says there are also quite a number of women who pressure their husbands or boyfriends to take Viagra or an equivalent, even when it makes the man feel poorly.
Yeah, sex is all about negotiation, isn't it? Take a pill, don't take a pill, do it now, have a headache.
It's all about the headache.
Thinking of England.
A natural alternative is no longer foreplay. Half an hour session, make-out session, has no known side effects. And somebody who does not.
It seems that this pill is only for premenopausal women. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So. It'll be interesting to try to talk to your doctor about it. You have to get a prescription for it. So if you're not premenopausal, can you even get a prescription? If you're a good doctor, you wouldn't give it.
No, if you're not. If you are premenopausal,
But if you're postmenopausal and having the problem of decreased desire,
but it's
your
it's,
doctor should not be giving you a prescription.
But it's interesting that they're making the distinction between the two. I mean, is there something about this drug that interacts badly with the lack of hormones?
Rock on, Libby. Definitely agree with you. Put down those pharmaceuticals and pick up a joint, and you're all set. You're a very smart lady. Love you, ma'am. And then, interestingly...
Love you, man or ma'am?
He said man.
Hey, that's okay.
Okay. Robert says, not in New York, Libby. At least not while Cuomo is governor. Fortunately, that won't be forever. That's Bob from Albany said that. And Bonnie says, Honey, I took the pill like you wanted, but it's given me a pounding headache. That's from Bonnie.
Also, I'm vomiting on you. Yeah. How much do you want it? Oh, God.
And then Wayne says, let's call it what it really is, placebo.
Maybe what? Placebo?
No, it says placebo, and I think it's for a reason. O would be male. I would
be female.
Don't you see?
Yes, I
don't
do.
You see?
But it's sort of weird.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, and that would seem to be that.
That's good.
Well, yes. Let's move on, for goodness sakes. So while we are talking about advancements for women, let's talk about the Army's first female Ranger School graduates. This from We should point that on Friday, two women will become the first female soldiers ever to graduate the course from Fort Benning, Georgia, receiving the coveted black and yellow Ranger tab alongside 94 male counterparts.
Like a first, congratulations to those two women. It's
out
a
of
great
60 who started the course.
And
so how many men are started?
100
and
something men finished. Over 300 started
Correct.
The course.
Yeah. So, well, 2 out of 60, 100 out of 300. Look, if somebody can meet the physical demands, there is no question that they ought to be allowed to be in.
Absolutely.
This is crazy to exclude them.
That's good.
But we should be celebrating,
writing,
right?
For 30 years, I've been writing stories about this is the first woman, too. This is the first woman, too. The truth is that some women, not all, some women can do every job out there, just the same as it is for some men can do every job out there. And why we have laws when you can set up physical barriers and say, meet this and you're in, I don't get it. You're right, Alan.
Ranger School was open to women for the first time in April as the Army assesses how to integrate women into more jobs and combat units across the service. That followed a January 2013 decision by senior Pentagon leaders to open all jobs to women, with the service granted until this fall to make recommendations on whether anything should remain closed.
It was interesting. Last night we were watching Rachel Maddow, and there was something that came across in her show about how the Secretary of Navy is now opening up SEAL training. For women.
For women. Cool.
So, really, you know. We'll
okay, be... I want one of these women to take on Trump.
Yeah, me too.
I'd like to hear see a debate between them.
I'd like them to just have an arm wrestle, actually.
I'm waiting for the stats on Trump.
They came out.
No. I'm not waiting for the stats among women.
Yeah.
In other words, there are still women in this society who believe their job is to be moms, to be at home, you know, and to play second fiddle. And I find that crazy, but there are. I'd like to know how many of them there are.
Anderson Cooper had a story on that last night, looking at the numbers among Republican women.
Right.
And he is extremely popular.
Yeah,
they say, I don't take it as criticism. Yeah. And he has such good ideas for the country. You know, forget about what he says about women. Wow, I really am testing my empathy. I don't get that at all.
Well, I think we need to, if you want to look at the women's vote, they need to do a poll regardless of party. And really,
see what
and
happens.
Break it down that way. I think he's keying into the 2010 Tea Party anger in a way that, you know, people can look up to him because he's so rich. I mean, not that I agree with this, but I think that's what's going on. People are like, well, he must be right because he has all of that money. And which is a stupid way of looking at politics and a stupid way of looking at life, but I think that's part of the dynamic. And look, you have these Republican women who haven't had an original thought in a very long time.
Well, that's kind of critical of
well,
women.
It is.
I hate to think that's it. There's something there that they see that I do not, and I would really like to be able to see it because I'm just appalled by him. I can't listen to whatever the substantial messages they seem to think he has. I can't even get past it.
But these are the women
leading
who
from
think
wherever comments.
That these are the women who think women should stay home. You know, it's the core
not
of
only
the, no, 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 no. Yeah. If they're looking, they're talking to prime Republicans, the core, the ones who vote in the primaries.
Mm.
These are the women who, for the most part, think women should stay home with their children. They have a role to play. They should be there for their husbands.
Well, you know, I know you may be right, but I know an awful lot of Republican women who are either
the
breadwinners in their families,
sure.
Or who do this incredible work. I think what Trump is up to here is to find messages which he thinks majorities of Americans or Germans or anybody else agrees with, which is don't allow people over the borders or you know, on women. We've gone too far on political correctness. You can't tell a joke anymore. And those are the people that he's appealing to. And frankly, it's working.
So let me just change the subject slightly to another article that we have here, which is Republicans thought they had learned a lesson after 2012, turning off Latino voters ensures defeat in the general election. But as the disruptive presidential candidacy of Donald Trump continues, this from the New York Times this morning, continues to gain support, his hard line in immigration has driven rivals to match his biting anti-immigrant language and positions long considered extreme.
Exactly. Yeah, the newest thing now is they would take away birthright citizenship.
Yeah,
if your immigrant parents have a child in the United States, that child, since the Civil War, has been an American. They would change that. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it's they really are going further and further to the right.
And there will be 18. That's right.
And are losing and are just losing the Hispanic vote.
But aren't these also? And I'm not challenging you on that at all because it's obviously happening. My question is, isn't this sort of a last ditch effort by candidates who are quickly finding themselves irrelevant?
Like,
well, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Scott.
The
Walker.
Idea is win at all costs. You know, in Great Barrington, we have this. This law that is being proposed, not a law, but a change, which is that anybody who has a house under $400,000 should get a tax break, substantial tax break. And anybody who has a house over $400,000 should pay more. And it's so clear that whoever thought this up is saying, okay, this is the way, this is what people are thinking. I want lower taxes, and there are more of them than there are of the rich people. Therefore, I'm going to cater to those people, mm-hmm. causing great divisions in my town in Great Barrington. It's a lousy idea, but it's there. It's all about getting people, on your side.
Okay, it's really, as a long-term strategy, so, so stupid. There will be 18% more Hispanic voters in 2016 than there were in the last presidential election. And so you're alienating not just the same people you did last time, but even more of them.
Yes, but Rosemary, the problem with what you've just said is they don't care because they have a primary now. They're not worried right. about what's going to happen in 18 years or in 15 years. They want to win the primary and run for president.
And they also, I think, come from the perspective of they're Hispanic, they're poor, they don't vote. I think they have that stereotype in their minds.
And you're talking about what would happen this election cycle, right?
This election, 2016, the presidential election.
Yeah,
right.
compared to 2012.
But Alan is right. They're just looking. They don't have a long-term view. They're looking at Iowa. They're looking at the primaries. They're looking at being able to survive the Trump juggernaut, and
they want to out-Trump them,
right? And if we get past the, if we get to January and they're still alive politically, then they'll move.
That
to
worked
the,
so
to
well
the
for Romney. I'm really glad
well,
to
know,
see
they. Have,
it's like the article
the
said,
is.
Though, Libby.
Right.
They have not learned a thing from what
they
happened.
They haven't learned a lesson. And because they do think that they're right. Regardless,
by the way, not to be petty, and I know Trump has a gazillion dollars, but why can't he get a better hat? We'll be back after this break.
Support for WAMC comes from Bedard Brothers Cheshire. Featuring 7 brands in one location, Chevrolet, Honda, Volvo, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram, plus late model pre-owned cars and trucks. It's hard to beat Bedard. Online, bedardbrothers.com. The Millay Society at Steepletop, Austerlitz, New York. The historic home and gardens of Jazz Age poet Edna St. Vincent Millay is now open for tours Fridays through Mondays. Millay.org. And the Hudson River Valley National Heritage Area, presenting the Hudson River Valley Ramble, featuring over 200 events throughout September, showcasing outdoor adventures, scenic landscapes, and regional history. HudsonRiverValleyRamble.com.
Sex plus politics equals a lot of letters.
Okay. Colleen says, I respectfully disagree with Libby that Republican women don't have an original thought. While I'm not a Republican, many women I know who are Republicans are disillusioned and fed up because no one has been listening to the original thought, to those original thoughts. Fiorina is speaking and listening to those women. Trump resonates for the same reason. Okay. And Steve says, Libby's comment regarding conservative women is a bit disconcerting. I'm sure there's a wide diversity of opinions out there. There were new disclosures on Hillary's email today. Any comments from the round table? Trouble. Okay, so...
Right here in River City.
Okay, right. Let's see here. Enjoying your discussion today, says Rose. Today, the various notes, as the serious notes, as well as the chuckles. No surprise, Big Pharma is pushing this new drug. It's all about the money with them. Thankfully, a really good man, good communication, good music, a fine Cabernet, and a silky lubricant do it for me. That list of disgusting and dangerous potential side effects when the drug turns my stomach and sure as hell doesn't put me in the mood. Michael says, is it a crime for a woman to stay home and raise the children and such? Should she be ashamed of it, says Michael. Julia says, Alan's right. Big pharma is motivated by big money, period, end of sentence. For example, safer, more effective vaccine forms developed by Dr. John Robbins have not been pursued by the industry. He was on for an hour with us, by the way. Have not been pursued by the industry because of the cost to replace existing vaccines, which affect the big pharma bottom line. Bob says, some of us men and women do not think that a woman who chooses to stay home and take care of the children are second fiddle. And we've heard from somebody. That was a follow-up on another. Jane Silver, I'm sorry about that. Jane says, thanks for changing to an important topic. 1 hour talk of sex is a bit boring, like talking about the food candidates eat in Iowa.
Sounds like she might need a pill.
Wow.
Sex is boring? Come on.
Who's being snap? That's a snap. That's real.
And David,
come on,
said,
sex and food, those are like central issues in human life. Why, and sleep, too. Why should we not talk about them?
Yeah.
And then we might as well go to the bathroom.
I'm not good at any of them.
Talk about those issues as well.
Okay.
We would get the college crowd then.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. David says, the way I see it, there are more serious issues like why kids are still born with cleft lips and palates. It would be put plastic surgeons out of business. Same with drug companies. I don't agree with that, but what can I say? Women Rangers, call it what it is, Ramba. Remember we talked about
Ramba.
Yeah.
Ramba.
Cute.
Okay,
cute.
I like it. Yeah, I like nice. It. Let's see here. So that's what I got.
Okay.
All right. We have about 2 minutes left. So let's do a quick thing on methane. The EPA announces new rules to cut methane emissions. The Obama administration on Tuesday proposed the first federal regulations requiring the nation's oil and gas industry to cut emissions of methane as part of an expanding and increasingly aggressive effort to combat climate change. When asked, I think late last year, about his legacy and what he was going to be working on, the president said his main issue is going to be climate change, and he certainly has.
To me, we are truly killing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he knows it and wants to get out in front of this for whatever his motives, they may be good, they may be, hey, we're killing ourselves, we should stop it, or it may be that he's looking at his legacy, but whatever it is, he's right.
Absolutely.
It's such a great thing he did. It's important. No other president has done it. However, really, really late in his administration, if there's not a Democrat to follow up after him, this will never go into effect. It's going to take a year to do legal challenges and
really
to get it lined
up. Well, really late in his administration,
up.
But also really late in
the game. It's only going
to
drop emissions by cut emissions by like 20%.
Yeah,
it's not even partly.
If you ask anyone in the Republican clown car right now, they'll all say that there is no such thing as climate change.
No, it's not true about everyone, Livy. That's an overstatement. But it certainly is true that there's a disturbing number of people who just are burying their heads in the sand.
Right, right. So this is really good, but it's not going to solve the problem, even if it ever really happens.
And that's the thing. Will it ever really happen?
Right.
But... all right. Do you have another?
One letter, real fast.
Okay.
Carolyn says, for many days you have discussed the Donald Trump's effective candidacy. I wanted to say Trump is a panderer. He is calling out people's worst selves, their fear of change, their unwillingness to open their lives beyond that which they know. He's not the first to do so, nor sadly the last, but he is the loudest. And I agree with
him. Good, true.
We are out of time. I want to thank everyone who wrote in and joined in on our discussion, of course, to thank Alan and Libby and Rosemary. You just slapped your head.
I'm just reading ahead.
Oh, okay. I thought I offended you. I didn't
know.
No,
Donald Trump tells Bill O'Reilly that the 14th Amendment won't hold up in court.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a topic for another day.
We had a box pop on it yesterday.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Anything just comes out of his mouth. He doesn't care whether it's real or not.
Okay.
Pander.
We're out of time.
I'm sorry.
You have to stop.
Okay.
Okay. We'll be back after this.